Yes, sir.
I know this sort of maybe calls us to think about the future, maybe trying to understand the unknown, but how do you have any sense of how this is going to end, how this is going to go?
Yes.
4 years of this.
Yeah. You've got the other dynamic, which is the Russian connection, and I have absolutely no idea what that is or whether it is something or not. I think, though, that to what extent can Trump cut a deal that is bipartisan? Right. When I want to go to bed at night feeling good about the snapshot, I say, okay, we know he has no ideological beliefs, right? None whatever. So that gives him a lot of degrees of freedom, okay? And we know he wants to succeed desperately. The easy way for him to do that is to jettison the Tea Party and to jettison the Hastert. Remember the Hastert rule? If we can't pass it exclusively with Republican votes, we don't pass it. So you jettison the Hastert rule, and you cut a bunch of deals with moderate Republicans and mainstream Democrats. That would be a strategy that I do believe he could pursue and succeed. You saw with the health care bill, the health care bill that will be acceptable to moderate Republicans and most Americans is completely antithetical to anything that the Freedom Caucus will accept. So that's a non-starter. That gets you to the null set really serious, really quickly. But I don't know the extent. There is this other tail risk for him, and I don't know anything about it. But that other tail risk is the Russia connection, and if there are smoking howitzers, well, then maybe you don't want the Republican Party mad at you. In an environment where someone might have the right to say, for the good of the country, we've got to really investigate this. I don't know.
Remembering Galbraith's crash in 29, one section of it was talking about how just the worst imaginable situation had happened. And then it got worse. Looking at your view of, people think tomorrow will be like yesterday. There was an earlier presentation that mentioned what happens if the stock market drops 30%. Now, consensus economics response would be, well, there wasn't much impact on the way up in terms of wealth effect. There may not be much impact on the way down in terms of wealth effect. But if you had something like a 30% decline that didn't happen like a flash crash, but happened over a very long period of time, over a year.
Yeah, the couple things in that regard. So we could all cancel our insurance policies right now, right? Let's all cancel our insurance policies and start buying, I'm a red wine drinker, start buying a red wine that's, two standard deviations better than the one you've been buying. All right, now for most of us, that'll turn out to have been a clever thing to do. Not for all of us, but for most of us. All right, I wouldn't get to O'Brien, but if you think about the gutting of all of the re-regulation of Wall Street, okay, so you're eliminating again some attempt at insurance policies or protection, but that's unlikely to be costly in the next 3, 6, 12, 24 months. In fact, I would submit that we did have sort of a once in a generational, oh my God. Okay, if I look at corporations' cash on the balance sheet, if I look at short-term to long-term debt ratios, if I look at household balance sheets, if I look at their debt service to income, all of this stuff looks like it looks better than it's looked any time. It doesn't look as well as it did 5 years ago, but pre-2006, it hasn't looked this good in my career. So I don't see the in the U.S., I don't see the financial architecture for that kind of big Minsky moment.
In China?
China. Now, China is a really interesting case. China has is set up for a wild Minsky moment, except you can't have a Minsky moment in China. You can't have a Minsky moment. What's the Minsky moment? The Minsky moment is, oh my God, the banks are bankrupt, but we pretend that we're capitalists, so we can't bail them out. They don't pretend they're capitalists. So there is no public sector restraint on just rolling in and pushing in the dough, which of course is a moral hazard that's so crazy that you could get to 300% of GDP debt to income, which is where they are. Okay, so I find that the standard approach, the standard Minsky framework, is hard to apply. I think one of our brethren, Michael Pettis, who's been writing really brilliant stuff about China over the last 15 years, would say, look, one way or the other, you've got to have a radical slowdown in GDP growth as you reapportion things from the investment and export side to consumption. Yeah?
About the stock market regulation, would it be a good thing for the American economy to tax the all the stock market operations?
You mean a transaction tax?
Some kind of like James Dolan coefficient.
I got a hunch that the 12 people from Goldman Sachs who are now running that part of the Trump administration aren't looking keenly at that right now. It's just a hunch. Yes?
What's your take on modern currency like bitcoins?
The Bitcoin. I don't like them. They don't have sovereigns behind them. I don't think it makes a lot of sense. In fact, when you think about Italy, which I visit a lot, and that's my heritage, Jean-Claude Trichet gave several speeches in 2011, which he said, you know, we're not the Federal Reserve, and I'm not the lender of last resort. And Italy's borrowing costs went from 4% to 8. And at 8%, Italy was bankrupt. Bankrupt. I mean, if you did the math, if they had to borrow at 8% with nominal GDP growing at 3, they were bankrupt. And then we got rid of wrong way Trichet, and we brought in Super Mario Draghi. And the first thing he said is, hey, I'm the lender of last resort. Italy today borrows at 1%. Gee, they were borrowing at 8, now they borrow at 1. By the way, at 1%, they're solvent. At 1% they're solvent, at 8% they're not. Now that's not a Bitcoin, that's a central bank that says I'm attached to the sovereign and make sure that nominally they can service their debts. And if anybody didn't miss the fact that I and ran that question, I want to remind you that I did. In the back.
So can a country be run like a business, and if so, can a president run the country like a CEO?
I think we have some data on that now. having worked in the Senate and having worked on Wall Street, a CEO looks at you and says, "Shut up or you're fired," all the time. Right? You can't do that when you're running the country. Right? There's no "shut up or you're fired." You can do it to your staffers, but they don't matter, right? You have to negotiate. You're in a completely different sociological situation, and I don't think that the skill sets are easily transferable, especially if you were a bad businessman. Sir,
we have pension funds, and I hear sovereign wealth funds that have a lot more in obligations than they have in assets. And yet, you know, we're relatively high in the stock market now. We're relatively long in the economy. Bond yields are still relatively, so it's a good environment, and yet they still have big deficits. So, you know, don't they have to either cut benefits or raise contributions? And isn't that a drag? and how much of a drag would it be?
Yeah, I think you know, and I'm not trying to end run this time. I think a lot of these things are you can come back to the elemental aspects of the demographics, right? Of the fact that we didn't notice. It was pretty nifty when there were 10 of us working and 5 of them retiring. And boy, does it look ratty when there are 10 of us retiring and 5 of them working. And a lot of that you know, the joke I used to tell my father, who was beginning to drive me crazy late in his life, and he lived in Florida, I said, you know, if Florida got a tsunami like they got in Japan, Social Security and Medicare would be cured. A last question? Sir?
The business cycle.
I thought, come on, you got to ask me. He wants to know if Toronto has a chance. They're actually up 2-1 versus Washington. My son played minor league hockey in Toronto. So he could bring it, eh? He could really shoot that puck. I'm sorry. Yes.
So the business cycle, in terms of amplitude, you're not getting much on the upside. The downside, when you look at it, and I'm thinking more in terms of the Fed and their bullets and all that, and now they're going to wipe out their balance sheet excesses and you're going to be left with less bullets.
Yeah. It is interesting. This is completely seat of the pants, and I apologize, but it always struck me that the excesses are less about level, right? Nehru drove me crazy, okay? And less even about growth rates, and they're more about second derivatives, right? You know, a burst of enthusiasm, a burst of optimism, a year and a half of GDP growth at 4.5, and you could really start to make imbecilic decisions. And so it is odd because, you know, we have been growing very slowly, but consistently. And if you said to me 8 years ago, all right, you're going to find yourself with the unemployment rate at 4.5 and employment growing at what seems to be faster than anybody's measure of the growth rate in the labor force, what do you think in terms of cyclical excesses? I would have said pretty damn high, but we crawled our way here, and so it doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like it. If you go back and you say, you know, what was the post-election trade? Right, what was that? I mean, other than wildly embarrassing Paul Krugman. What was that trade? That trade was, my God, they're going to jam their foot on the gas pedal, right? We're going to have a big tax cut. We're going to have big infrastructure spending. And we're going to have big defense spending because the Republicans are in charge of the House, the Senate, and the White House, and they all are going to get to spend a lot of money. And so that made sense to me. Not that it was the right thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure the bond market bought that.
Well, no, it bought it when the bond went, but the bond yield from the day of the election, or 2 days before the election to the peak, went from 1.78 to 2.64. That's a nice little move. And the whole reversal of that trade is, my God, it doesn't look like these guys are going to get anything done. And I did say guys, and I did say that correctly.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.